I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, the 24-hour all-you-can-eat food plan comes to campus, at least for the athletes. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for a look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Food.
You sound like Homer Simpson. I guess that was intentional. The NHL and the NBA are both into their second season. Let us start with basketball. It seems safe to suggest that the winner will come out of the West. Whom do you like?
As much as I want to pick San Antonio because I think they're best suited to win the playoffs, I think Oklahoma City's year is this year. Kevin Durant is my most valuable player for the league. I think this is the year they win.
Duke freshman Jabari Parker has announced his intention to enter the NBA draft. I'm not sure this is exactly surprising news, but are you surprised that it took him so long?
No, I think I think he took his time. I think he looked around to see who else was coming out, and then he realized he was going to be, you know, the number one or two pick in the draft anyway, so he came out.
It's a surprise to nobody that UConn senior Shabazz Napier will be entering the NBA draft, but given the recent comments of NCAA President Mark Emmert, Napier, who recently said that he sometimes went to bed, quote, starving, might be wishing he had some eligibility left.
Yes, you can now be fed if you're an athlete. And even Mark Emmert said that the notion that schools might compete by offering better quality food is not inherently a bad thing. Now, I've followed college sports for going on 40 years, Bill, and I think what Mr. Embert is missing is that sometimes better quality food may include, like, $100 bills between the lettuce, but...
Here's a salad, son.
That's right. Here's a salad, and if you want seconds, you can go to the ATM. The buffet.
The salad bar. Right. The NHL's new playoff format has led the New York Times to label the matchups as spicy. You want to pick a Stanley Cup winner?
God, I sound like such a homer, but I think it's the Boston Bruins here.
A long and detailed report in Wednesday's New York Times examined how Florida State University and the Tallahassee police handled rape charges against football star Jameis Winston. Were you surprised at the paper's conclusion that, quote, there was virtually no investigation at all?
I was astonished by that in kind of a general sense, but the more specific point of the story that I found absolutely gobsmacking, and as I mentioned earlier, I've been following this stuff for 40 years, is that the investigating officer was also a private investigator for the Florida State Booster Club. I didn't know booster clubs had their own cops. I knew they had their own banks, and I knew they had their own auto dealerships, and I knew they had their own luxury suites. I didn't realize they had their own cops.
Last year, Yasiel Puig's rookie season for the L.A. Dodgers had its ups and downs, but until this week, we didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. Like his manager, Don Mattingly, are you worried about Mr. Puig's future?
Yeah, the story involved groups of human traffickers / drug dealers who were fighting each other over the rights to traffic in the human that is Yasiel Puig and a chunk of his contract. And poor Mattingly's worried about him. You know, if Puig doesn't run out of ground ball and he benches him for a game, he might get caught in a crossfire.
The New York Yankees have notched the first triple play of the 2014 Major League Baseball season, Charlie, and with it comes an interesting statistic. Between June 3, 1968, and April 22, 2010, the number of Yankees triple plays stood at zero. Since then, there have been three, and all three have come while CeCe Sabathia was on the mound. What's going on here?
I don't know, but there are sabermetricians out there right now concocting a new stat about pitchers who are more inclined to throw triple play balls. But what I like about this is it gives me a chance to say Yangervis Solarte, who is the guy who fielded the ball to begin the triple play.
Stanford star Shanae Ogumike was chosen first in the WNBA draft this week. She will play for the Connecticut Sun. This comes 2 years after her older sister Neko was chosen with the top pick by Los Angeles. I wonder if the Ogumikes are the Mannings of women's basketball.
Well, they're the only other siblings taken number one in the four major American sports. This is quite a distinction, actually.
Mount Everest has suffered its most fatal day, Charlie, and the climbing season hasn't even begun. At least a dozen Sherpas have died in an avalanche while preparing the mountain for fee-paying customers. Is it time to end our fascination with climbing this particular mountain?
It's time for us to stop making this a stop on the tourist bucket list. Right now, it's like taking a railroad or something, you know, a very slow-moving cog railway up there instead of being, you know, Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. I think we have to develop a little respect for the mountain.
We have not spoken, you and I, since Bubba Watson won the Masters, and good on him for that. Shortly thereafter, the TV ratings for the tournament became available. How'd they look?
Well, they were the lowest since 2004, and this is all widely attributed to the fact that Tiger Woods didn't play in the tournament. I'm not sure it can be entirely blamed on that, but it certainly is a drop.
Meanwhile, at the Malaysian Open, Spain's Pablo Larrazabal says that playing the fifth hole is very, very scary. Larrazabal birdied the hole on Friday, so what's the problem?
Hornets came after him, Bill, and he had to jump in a lake. And despite that, he still shot 68, so good for you, Jose.
So there's no water penalty for jumping in the
lake?
No,
absolutely not.
If you hit your golf ball.
The ball goes in the lake, you have to take a penalty. If you go in the lake, you're fine.
No worries. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, and of course he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.